Yes, everybody, it is the happiness hour on the Dennis Prager Show. Every week at this time, an hour devoted to happiness. Devoted to happiness. Ha ha. All right, should I do it or not is the question every week. Sean says yes and Alan says no. It's the hour. It's the... Hi, everybody. Come hell or high water, terror or whatever it might be, I consider happiness to be so important that no matter what, I devote an hour each week to this subject at this time on Fridays, because happy people in any event will make the world better. I do not generally associate, for example, terrorists with being among the happier of God's children. I have had one regular guest on this program, and that's generally true and certainly true for the Happiness Hour. He is Dr. Stephen Marmer, professor of psychiatry at UCLA in private practice in Brentwood, California. And Dr. Marmer, it is great to have you again.
It's always great to be here, and that theme music to Alan's consternation put a smile on my face.
I don't understand. Alan's a curmudgeon. You know, he needs the Happiness Hour.
I agree.
You should see him now. You and I have talked about the subject, and I think that this is, I can't believe that I never actually did this. It gives an idea of how many subjects one can talk about vis-a-vis happiness.
Inexhaustible.
It apparently is, and we came up with the idea of the relationship between, and I'm going to use a word that is so out of fashion today that it just isn't used. But I want you to explain it and tell us why, as adult lifelong psychiatrist who've seen so many people, has seen so many patients, why you think this is so critical to happiness. And the word, folks, get ready, the word is maturity.
Well, let me give you first three or four quick definitions of some of the ways in which I understand maturity, and then I'll explain how they lead to happiness. And I'll be very quick about it. The first concept is that one of my definitions of maturity comes from a concept in electronics called capacitance. How much of a charge can you hold without having to discharge it? How much anxiety or depression can you tolerate without having to do something destructive, either to someone else by getting mad at them or having a temper tantrum, or against yourself by drinking, gambling, or doing some other disreputable or difficult thing. The second definition is, how much are you blind to the past? That's one kind of immaturity. And how much are you a prisoner of the past? That's another kind of immaturity. Or to put it another way, how much are you able to live actually in the present with your eyes open? And the third part of maturity is, do you get satisfaction out of undertaking and fulfilling obligations? And if the answer is, I can hold a lot of anxiety without hurting myself or someone else, I know where I came from, but I'm not a prisoner of the past, and I like undertaking obligations because it makes me feel like a grown-up, if you have those three things, you are mature, and you will get tremendous satisfaction out of life, and you will not hurt the people around you who love you. You will become a lovable person, and you will be living in the present. If you don't have those three ingredients, then you are going to be dependent upon external forces to make you feel okay, rather than internal things that are within your power to make you feel happy.
Well, I wrote them all down, and we're going to analyze all of them, but I'll tell you the first reaction I have is, if you're right, and I deeply believe what you said to be true, then a youth-oriented culture is a prescription for an unhappy culture.
I believe that. And, you know, there's been a huge change in the kinds of problems that young people have brought into my practice. 30 years ago when I was getting started, I had inhibited, guilt-ridden people who felt overly burdened by the expectations of their parents or whatever. Now I see people in their teens and early 20s who have no sense of obligation, who think that being a grown-up is kind of a negative thing, who don't plan for the future, who don't think about the implications of their actions on themselves or others, and who are living in a perpetual young adolescent kind of frame of mind. And so instead of having genuine happiness, what they seek are distractions.
In fact, now, building on what you've said, in fact, a lot of young people today think that becoming 21 gives you more chance to stay a child.
Becoming 21 gives you more opportunities to experience more of the distractions.
Yeah, rather than becoming a grown-up.
Rather than becoming a grown-up and undertaking and enjoying the fulfillment of obligations.
You know, I'll tell you another thing in this regard. I did a show once which was very, very illuminating. I asked women to call in, only women, and of all ages, and to tell me what they thought, what came to mind when they heard the word masculine. What was the trait? And fascinatingly, most of them called in to say fulfills obligations, responsible.
That's correct, and that's why so many of the women in their 30s who come to see me and who are looking for a partner complain that all they see are boys in their 30s and 40s. They don't see any men.
And a boy, in our definition here, is one who doesn't want to take on obligations.
A boy is someone who is boyish. A boy doesn't want to take on obligations. A boy is a prisoner of his temper. A boy wants distractions and fun. And a boy doesn't think that his job is to be strong and take care of others and fulfill obligations.
Now, to be fair, are there a lot of girls in their 30s, too?
Yes, there are. Although I must say that the gap between man-boy and woman-girl does not favor the males.
Right. As I've often believed, girls become women pretty much automatically, but boys do not automatically become men.
I think that that's largely true. I think it's not so easy to be a woman or a man these days because there's so much emphasis on boyishness and girlishness. But I think that it is harder for a boy to become a man than for a girl to become a woman.
Let me take your three criteria now. And, folks, welcome. This is the Dennis Prager Show, the Happiness Hour. My guest, Dr. Stephen Marmer, and I are talking about a value that isn't even discussed any longer. And I'm not even talking, because it is the Happiness Hour, I'm not even talking about why it is morally worthwhile or a character developing issue. But maturity is a you can't be, your statement in effect, Dr. Marmer, is you can't be immature and happy.
Yes, you can have momentary distractions and momentary joy, but you can't have anything like lasting happiness or deep happiness if you're immature.
So becoming a grown-up, another term that we don't even have, kids don't want to be grown-ups, but becoming a grown-up is a vehicle to happiness.
Absolutely, without any question.
Yeah. 1-8-PRAGER-776, does this resonate with you listening? Does it make sense? Do you have questions? 1-8-PRAGER-776. Or 877-243-7776. You gave three criteria for being a mature person. And let's go through them now in more detail. The first, I love all three, but number two, I don't follow as much, so we'll talk about that in turn. But number one, capacitance. How much anxiety, how much difficulty, how many of life's challenges can you take in without doing something destructive to yourself or to somebody else?
That's right.
How much adversity can you handle without cracking?
Yes, and when you are overwhelmed, and I'm not saying that there aren't overwhelming situations, but when you are overwhelmed, do you express it in ways that are destructive to yourself, getting drunk, turning to drugs, or do you do it in a way that is destructive to the people around you? Beating up somebody, yelling, screaming, taking it out on your kids. If you do it in a constructive way, and that gets back to the obligation loop, then you're more mature. But it's how much can you take without cracking up?
The person who does lash out thinks that they're a real victim, so they have the right to do it, and they can't hold it. It's very interesting, but we'll leave the victim aside. Dr. Stephen Marmer, professor of psychiatry, UCLA in private practice, will take your calls, and we'll continue with the other two aspects of maturity on the Happiness Hour. Well, if that doesn't put a smile on your face, you're deaf. That's not meant as an insult. It's just meant as a, I think, empirical description. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager, the Happiness Hour, an hour each week devoted to this critically important subject. My guest is Dr. Stephen Marmer, who has been dubbed official psychiatrist of the Dennis Prager Show. You know, you should put that plaque up in your office.
Will you make a plaque?
Yeah,
for me?
We really should. Official psychiatrist, you know, that's good.
It would be my pleasure.
Except for there may be patients, though, who know of me and do not share my politics, and that may not be good for you. Or we'll put a shade up. You'll be able to zip it closed for the given patients.
Okay.
Dr. Stephen Marmer is a professor of psychiatry at UCLA and in private practice in Brentwood, California. We're talking about a subject that nobody talks about. The word, it's close to being a dirty word. It's certainly corny and passé, and that is the word maturity. But he has given he's made the point, which is so critical, that you can't be happy and immature. And yet there is a whole desire to make people or to keep people immature. I want to ask you a question before we continue with the three definitions you gave, which are so good. And I don't have an answer to this. This is really a question. You said, for example, that a big part of this is fulfilling obligations, right?
Yes.
Feel like a grown-up. And one of the questions I want to ask you is, since we are certain, you and I, and we're not alone, I'm sure, that maturity is a component of happiness.
Yes.
And is a necessity for happiness. So people would like to know, how do we foster a mature child, right?
Yes.
Well, here's an interesting thing. Let me just speak for myself. The only obligation that I had as a kid was to go to school, and I did go to school, and I didn't do anything there. So I didn't fulfill any of those obligations. But I do know that I wanted to be a grown-up. I wanted to be mature, if you will, from the earliest age. I never wanted to be a kid. So my question to you is there a big built-in component, or can we really foster maturity in children?
We can foster maturity in children. We can praise them every time they show this capacitance quality, this ability to not to deny the fact that they're anxious, but to be able to master it. Every time they master something, if we emphasized mastery instead of indulgence, we would be way ahead of the game. And there's no such thing as not having an opportunity to undertake obligations. You can have the obligation to say please and thank you.
I see. I had a lot of those.
To treat your siblings nicely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nicely and so forth.
Yeah. I was thinking of taking out the garbage, which I didn't do. Okay.
Well, I don't mean just chores.
You're right. That's good.
I mean feeling that you're responsible for yourself and that you are mm-hmm. responsible for the way in which you behave and that
right.
has an impact on yourself and others.
All right. The first one was there were three criteria here, or three components to maturity, folks, from Dr. Marmer. One is how capacitance, what your capacity to take life's difficulties, which are universal, everybody has a hard life, and not do something destructive to yourself or to another with it. Number two, and that's the one. Number three was satisfaction from fulfilling obligations.
Yes.
Okay, great. Number two, I didn't follow fully. Don't be blind or a prisoner of your past. Live in the present. It certainly sounds like great advice, but what does that have to do with maturity?
Okay. An immature person only lives in the moment, doesn't recognize the consequences or the residue of what they did yesterday. For instance, if you have an argument with your wife and then the next day you want to be all lovey-dovey and you forget the fact that you hurt her yesterday, then you're going to be immature. You're not remembering something of relevance in the past that you that happened at your hand. By the same token, if you are a prisoner of the past, my mommy didn't love me or my daddy was mean to me, therefore I am justified in having a fight with my boss or being disrespectful to my teacher, then you're imprisoned.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific. That is so.
There are two ways of not living in the present.
You know, in that regard, you wonder, do many therapists foster immaturity?
Well, it is a slippery slope, because my experience is that in order to get over the past, you have to go through a phase of immersing yourself in it so that you can really know what it is that you're up against. But if that's the end point, then you are fostering victimhood. If it's a transition point on the way to something else, then it's a reasonable thing. So therapists have to be careful about how much, in the course of exploring the genesis of a person's traumas, how much they foster victimhood. You always have to, just as we talked about just a second ago about obligation and mastery, the emphasis of therapy should always be on mastery.
That's great. The notion, by the way, that victimhood is a function of immaturity is unbelievably important.
Oh, it is. Victimhood is clearly an immature state, because you emphasize your powerlessness, you emphasize your weakness. It's really, Alice Miller wrote this famous book called Prisoners of Childhood, and it was such a controversial thing that she had to change the title to The Drama of the Gifted Child, because the concept of prisoners of childhood was just
I did not know that. That is so interesting, because the book is a classic.
The book is a classic, and a kind of disturbing book, because it illustrates how people get stuck in childhood patterns and how difficult it is to break out of them. But the publisher thought that the title was too unpleasant, and so it was changed to...
It is hardly in the same category, but I want you to know my publisher hated my title, Happiness is a Serious Problem. I had to fight tooth and nail. It's a downer. I said, wait a minute. The question isn't, is it a downer? Is it true? Well, yeah, it's true. It's a serious problem. But...
Well, who cares about truth?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. I wish you would have kept The Drama of the Gifted Child. That's like, has nothing to do with The Prisoner of Childhood.
Right.
Oh, how ironic. All right, let's take some calls here. This one will strike you as particularly important. Joseph in Fort Worth, Texas, you're on with Dr. Stephen Marmer and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hi, it's a pleasure to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
I was wondering, and I'm really fascinated by this concept of capacitance, but I was wondering if it is possible to lose maturity, to decrease maturity, and if that were to happen, how you would go about getting it back.
Great question.
And how do you feel you might have? You just came back from fighting in Iraq?
Not just, but I was there for the invasion.
I see. All right, hold on. That's an important question, and we bless you for your duty. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, Dr. Marmer, I got an idea.
What's that?
I think that as your patients walk in, you should have Jeepers Creepers on.
Sounds good to me.
Can you imagine that? I've been saying to a patient, you know what? There's really nothing more that I could say, but listen to this. And then putting on Jeepers Creepers or Jimmy Durante or any of the stuff we use for the happiness hour.
Well, actually, I do have one patient who has always look on the bright side of life saved on her telephone, and whenever she's in a bad mood, she clicks onto that message.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a healthy thing.
Mm-hmm.
My guest is Dr. Stephen Marmer, professor of psychiatry at UCLA and in private practice in Brentwood, California, and we're talking about one of the truly most important components of happiness, and yet I've never really spoken about it in all these years. It's maturity, defined as three things by Dr. Marmer. One, capacitance, how much capacity you have to take in life's challenges and adversities and pain without lashing out at yourself or somebody else. Two, how much are you a prisoner of your childhood, to use that great term of Alice Miller that was no longer used. And three, how much satisfaction you receive from fulfilling obligations, feeling, in other words, enjoying feeling like a grown-up. Three terrific definitions. Now, I want to go back here to Joseph, who was in Iraq, and you, I infer from what you're asking, Joseph, that you feel that you went through a great deal and went backward.
Yes, sir. Based on your guest's description of what maturity is, my capacitance is considerably lower than it was when I left, and also I am spending more time looking for those distractions that you were just describing.
Well, Joseph, I think that you're giving the audience a description of what happens in chronic post-traumatic stress disorder. And yes, overwhelming stress and overwhelming trauma can break down your capacitance, can break down that ability to tolerate anxiety. And that's one of the hallmarks, actually, of post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. You are in a situation in which you no longer feel that you have mastery. You're completely flooded and overwhelmed, and then you lose contact with your own ability to have mastery even in lesser situations. And you seek either numbness or distraction through a variety of self-destructive things. And this is something that can be reversed. I think that one has to understand that someone like yourself, who comes back from a very difficult set of circumstances, has been injured no less than if you'd had a physical injury, and that, you know, there are treatments and cures that you need to go through in order to regain your sense of mastery. What's been lost can be regained.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Joseph. Now tell me, in what you just said, where is the line between improving and regarding oneself as a victim?
One of the things that people who suffer from PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder succumb to is the idea that they are a helpless victim. And actually, in certain dreadful situations, robbery at gunpoint, war, combat, so on and so forth, especially man-made disasters, we do have the feeling that we were helpless in the face of overwhelming stress and trauma. But that doesn't mean that we're helpless throughout our lives. And so you were a victim, but you don't have to be a prisoner of that victimhood. Yes, it's a historical fact. You went to Iraq or whatever tragedy it is that befell you, and it did happen. But the fact can never change, but the meaning of the fact can change. And so you can reframe traumatic events so that they actually strengthen you and increase your mastery.
Here's a great challenge from Michael in Highland Park, Illinois. Michael, Dennis Prager, and Dr. Stephen Marmer.
Hi, pleasure to be on with you guys. Dennis, I'm a conservative guy now, and listening to your guest, and before your guest was on, I agree with 99% of the things you say, and I love your show.
Thank you.
But I find myself thinking back to college, and that being a time of living in the moment, and geez, if I could have a video camera on myself and my friends.
That was your happiest time. We're going to continue with you, Michael. Great challenge for Dr. Marmer. We'll be back in a moment.
Well, you're everything.
Dr. Marmer, we won't be talking this segment. We'll just be listening to Jimmy.
Absolutely, and wondering how Mrs. Calabash is.
I don't know how many people are aware of that, but nevertheless.
Well, there might be a few.
Yeah. Dr. Stephen Marmer, professor of psychiatry, UCLA, in private practice, Brentwood, California. We're talking about an aspect of happiness on this, the Happiness Hour, each week. And this one is big, and that is that you can't be happy if you don't have maturity. And maturity is the capacity. He has given three working definitions: the capacity to handle anxiety without being destructive to yourself or another. Second, without remaining a prisoner of your past, childhood or other past. And third, satisfaction from fulfilling obligations. Now, to all of this, or at least to the third, certainly, Michael in Highland Park, Illinois, you have a very good challenge. The happiest time in your life that you recall was exactly when you were most immature at college.
Yeah, maybe not the happiest, but certainly a pretty good time. And I don't think I was mature, but maybe I meet his definition of maturity in a greater sense or in a more specific sense. But in a common definition, I don't know if that's true in terms of my actions, et cetera. But
all right,
a lot of people think that.
All right, well, yeah, I'll bet many do. But let me try to throw in what I think you might say, Doctor. I don't normally do this, but I want to try to guess.
Sure.
That if you lived the rest of your life like you did in college, you wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, because there's things I wanted to do, a family I wanted to have. And
well, just imagine. I mean, can you imagine the rest of your life binge drinking, shacking up with whomever you met, cheering at football games,
sure.
And having parties whenever possible? It's hard to imagine that. What are you, 36? That at 36,
yeah.
30, I don't think that would make you all that happy today.
Well, true, but at the time I was happy.
Yes.
So
at that time, all right.
Happiness at that time.
Yes, Dr. Marmer.
I think that Michael is mixing up or merging, conflating being carefree with being happy. I think that many people are carefree in college because they don't have any responsibilities, but that doesn't bring happiness in the sense of having something that you are really happy about, something that you've produced, something that you've done with your life. I think a person can be carefree. But I'm sure that you had to do a little bit of studying and had to have a few obligations met.
Exactly. Anyway, thank you. It was a fun challenge and a serious one. Okay. Now, let's see here. Let's go to Laura in Chicago. Also, hello, Laura, Dennis Prager and Dr. Stephen Marmer.
Hi, good to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
I have a question. Can you be happy in one area of your life?
You mean, happy or mature?
Mature in one area of your life and be immature in other areas of your life. For example, very mature and successful in your career, but in your personal life, perhaps not be so happy. Immature.
You're not referring to anyone in particular, are you?
Well, could be.
You're not.
Actually, I am. Uh-huh. I'm referring to my husband, who is a wonderful man. He has tremendous responsibility and respect at his job and his career, and yet he seems to mess up the other parts of his life, and it's very difficult to tell if he's really truly a happy person, completely happy.
I was going to take a wild guess and speculate about your husband, but I didn't dare. Yes, of course, and this is a fairly common pattern where in one sector he's got the good stuff in definition number three. He's undertaking obligations, but he must not know the right way to undertake obligations and the right way to connect and tolerate his own anxiety without doing something destructive, either withdrawing or acting out. In his family life, unfortunately, that is a pattern, and it's more likely to be found in men than in women because males are brought up with such an emphasis on career.
It seems to be somewhat destructive, the behavior can be.
It can be, and if you try to break it down into its components, you'll probably see that he's reliving past failures in his family life, but capable of breaking away from past failures and having successes in his work life. And I would venture to guess that his ability to handle frustration or his own anxiety or his own discomfort and let down his guard and be intimate is one of the ingredients that's missing, and that's one of the key components of maturity.
So all right.
He's got it in one side and not on the other.
Thank you, Laura. Good luck. Jan in San Diego, Dennis Prager, Dr. Stephen Marmer.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Dennis, we're fans of yours, and this subject is of particular interest to me. My question is this. It relates to family's response to trauma. My whole family in the last 6 years, my husband and two kids, have had several major events that have happened that have really shook us to our foundations. My husband had a major illness on the tail end of his recuperation. I became very ill and required treatment that lasted over several months, followed within a year by losing our home in the fires that occurred here in San Diego, and within a year after that, losing two very loved grandparents. Our family has, when you talked about people like retreating into being distracted and things like that, we all have kind of buried ourselves in a variety of activities to try to kind of reel, you know, to recuperate from these losses. But what I find is my kids, who should have been tending to, they're both teenagers, the whole process of maturing, I feel are lacking in that, and perhaps even regressed some because we've been in such trauma mode.
Okay, all right. So we'll get a response from you, Doctor, when we come back.
Right.
Okay. Final segment coming up. If you want to get in, 1-8-PRAGER-776. The subject is maturity. The three definitions, one more time, I will repeat. You are listening to the Happiness Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. All righty, welcome back. Final segment of this edition of the Happiness Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. The issue is maturity. The capacity to take anxiety given by life and without lashing out at yourself, in other words, doing anything destructive to yourself or to another. These are Dr. Stephen Marmer, my guest, his definitions, and they're great. A second one is not to allow your past, your childhood, or other things in your past to control you. And the third is deriving satisfaction from fulfilling obligations. A quick response to Jan in San Diego?
The quick response is yes, you've been through a lot. It's the kind of thing that makes kids look at adult life and say, "Ooh, this is a little more than I can handle," and figure that it's better to remain a child. The processing of things like this, of unearned or undeserved bad things that happen to a family, is to put it into a bigger context. Most of us, practically all of us living in America, have had more unearned good things happen to us than we have had unearned bad things happen to us. And so if you can help your family reframe the whole traumatic series of events that you described in that way, that your job as being people who have, to whom so much has been given, living in America and so on and so forth, more good things that you didn't earn have happened than bad things, and so that should give you the strength to deal with the bad ones.
Good luck, Jan. I'll just summarize some calls here with the brief time remaining. Tyler in Minnesota, can you give him advice on how not to constantly revisit past failures?
By seeing that he has the power to be an adult now, and one good thing about being an adult is to go ahead and undertake new obligations and have new successes. You can't rewrite the past, but you can write and rewrite your present and future, and that can nullify the past.
Jason, San Pedro, California. Does becoming too mature at an early age hamper your happiness? He thinks that's what happened to him.
Yes. I call that pseudo-maturity. If you have to be too serious and you're given things that are way beyond your ability to master, then you'll think of yourself as a failure.
And Peter in Chicago, are there any social institutions that might promote male maturity? For example, they used to have the Elk Club.
I think that all of the service organizations
Elks.
Do that.
Yeah, but they don't. They're not as they're not all male anymore.
I see what you mean. That's a big problem that deserves a show of its own.
Dr. Stephen Marmer, I always conclude by saying your patients are very lucky.
Well, thank you, Dennis. I'm very lucky to have this opportunity to talk with you.
Thank you. We'll certainly do it again. Dr. Stephen Marmer in a private practice, Brentwood, California. Now call in with anything on your mind. Open line.